¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. We still got 2 hours of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. As you people have given Barry all the information he needs and then some.
You know, every person has told me something different. There has not been one, literally, the text line in my Twitter has said, don't use a 9mm. You can absolutely use a 9mm. Don't use a shotgun. Get a rifle. You can absolutely use a shotgun. You can use a .22. You can use a slug. Get some slug and bird shots. Don't shoot them in the shoulder. Shoot them in the head. Don't shoot them in the head. Shoot them in the shoulder. Like, oh, my God. Can we get on the same page?
I just know the guy in the news said he killed the biggin' by shooting him right between the eyes.
Okay, I just want to get on the same page.
Here's the perplexing thing about that. What? When he showed the skull of the biggin that he killed by shooting it between the eyes, there was no hole between the eyes of the skull.
Oh, see?
So I don't know if that was a tale of...
And then one guy, Mark, says, get some Tannerite, which you shoot it and it blows up. He was like, put that in a trap and then put down some bait, some food. They'll come up. And then shoot the Tannerite, and it blows up the hog.
What am I,
Wiley Coyote? I'm over here trying to blow up hogs.
Like, I kiddingly, in the Midwest accent, talked about making them into bacon. But, like, they're dirty animals. No one eats them, right?
Yeah, they absolutely do.
They eat the feral hogs?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then someone else said, please, if you shoot it with a 9mm, let me know so I can be there and watch it charge you after it does.
I would like that as well. I would like video of that.
No,
that would be entertaining.
It's not happening. We're not. No,
they would be doing a different kind of yelling to Nora.
But I couldn't imagine. Like, I don't want to die by fire. I don't want to die by drowning. But I certainly don't want to die by feral hogs.
I couldn't imagine
what that lady went through. I hope something happened where, like, it knocked her out when she fell and she wasn't, conscious.
Well, you're gonna get it for that one.
I hope not. I mean, my goodness.
No, look, the fact that they said only, like, with all the years and years and years of different things with feral hogs, there's only been, like, 6 in which a human being was hurt or killed. It does make it a rarity, but it does make you ask the question, like, what really happened? I mean, she's a caregiver. Right. She's showing up between 6 or 6:30 in the morning. If you're just minding your own business, you would think the animals want no part of humans either because they want to keep doing what they're doing, and they know the easiest way that for that to be stopped would be if the humans get involved, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
So that's a different proposition. And also, by the way, I just found it odd that they interviewed the woman's family, okay? And they were obviously talking about the great traits and how much she'd be missed. She was a Niners fan. The son went out and said, I just found it odd that he was like, you know, we're going to miss her and everything like that. But you got it done last night. You got that win. You needed that one. I was like... Really?
What?
You're going to bring up the Niners beating the Packers as something?
Way.
Oh, my God. Lisa even stopped. She goes, did he? I go, okay, I get it. She's a Niners fan, but come on now.
You know damn well, Joel, if you were attacked by hogs, that Lisa would be like, I'm going to miss him so much. He was a great husband and father and... At least the Packers won for him. Go, Pack, go. Like, you know she would do that for you because that's what you would be thinking.
Nope.
Yes, you would.
Nope.
It would have been. What would have been ironic if she was a Redskins fan.
Ah, there you go.
That would have been ironic.
Yep.
Right? Because aren't they known as?
They're the Hogs, the offensive line. Yeah.
That would have been. Don't they have those guys that sit in the stands with
the
Hog noses
on? They still
do.
They did.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That would have been
ironic. That was a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, it was.
All right, so I just want to throw that story out there. I didn't think it would have a mind of its own, but it did take off a little
Texas.
Bit.
You're talking about shooting stuff? Shooting animals in Texas is always going to take over a show.
Oh, I know what. I want to get back to. We talked about Lamar Jackson. And obviously, the game wasn't much to talk about. See what happened after the game?
Between Jalen Ramsey and Peterson? Yeah, I did.
Here's the thing. Remember when I told you about Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, and that select few in the NBA that people know better than to ever mess with?
Uh-huh.
I've heard some stories that Marcus Peters is on that list.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters grew up with Beast Mode in Oakland.
Okay.
And I believe that they're pretty tough guys. So the fact that if you watch the video, Marcus Peters from the get-go had the helmet off, and he was going at Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey looked to have a little Kevin Garnett in him. He kept the helmet on. He waited till some people got between him.
That's the first thing I noticed, too. He didn't want that smoke.
No.
He was pretending like he wanted it. He didn't want
that
smoke.
So did you see what happened after that? He waited until he got to the tunnel when there was a lot of distance now, too, between any Peters and any of the other players for the Ravens.
And coaches.
Yeah, and coaches. Waited till some more players got a hold of him, but then started to like scream and yell. Then ripped off his helmet, pads, jersey, and was flexing shirtless as he went back into the Ravens locker room. He didn't want any of that, man. You know, I'm just saying, Marcus Peters was crazy enough during a game with a fan that yelled something to him to leave the bench to go up in the stands to go get some of that.
Yeah, he's that type of dude then.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with Marcus Peters.
No, but you could just tell.
I was surprised
Ramsey
that
wanted
the,
no part
in,
of that.
What initiated it though? Like
no part of it.
Like, why is he so mad at Jalen Ramsey though? I didn't get that part though.
If you because he's mad at, for one thing because he was traded
the
to make room so
him,
that
though.
He was traded so that they can make room to make the move to bring Ramsey in. But you can kind of and you may Barry's the expert lip reader and I'm not kidding about that. He's pretty good at that. But from what I could detect from when I watched the video a couple times over, he basically gives him the FU.
Yeah.
And then basically says something to the effect of, you suck.
I didn't see that part. I didn't see that. I just saw on the sidelines where he gave him the FU.
Because, you know, apropos of all apropos, he comes back to L.A. with his new team. They wax that ass. And then after getting the win late in the game, he gets a pick, too, which basically just puts the exclamation point on it. And then after the game, he's talking about it, and he still had, you know, hugs and interaction with a lot of other people in the Rams organization. A lot of people spoke highly of him. Gurley did. Even Goff did. They loved him when he was there. But evidently, he decided to unleash a little bit, and it got a little heated between Jalen Ramsey and Mark Peters. Think he's going to have some gumbo for him?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the speech he had for Sean Payton?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, they're not going to see each other unless they meet in the Super Bowl, which they're not going
to. Yeah, when your team loses 45-6, that's probably not the time to be acting crazy. If your team wins 45-6 and you do get a late pick and you were ushered out to make room for another guy, yeah, dump your chest, talk your mess because you've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on the other side, you just go, whatever, we'll have our day. And, you know, it's a bad look. Even though he went at him, it's just a bad look. You just put your helmet on, walk off the field, and be like, whatever, bro. Y'all won. Okay.
Yeah, the fact that he, like, kept the helmet on with the chin strap strapped.
Want to know
I don't think so. And I think that's wise. Because, like I said, I mean, just the stories that I've heard and then what I've seen, yeah, I just don't think if you're smart, you want a piece of Marcus Peters. I don't care what he is pound for pound. But, I mean, I just think he's a pretty tough dude. So
I'd whoop his ass all day.
You would?
Yeah.
Can we talk about Todd Gurley falling off, too?
Yeah, what happened to him?
Dude, Gurley is, 22 yards. And I realize that's a really good team over there. That's a really good defense. But damn, you know, he's had some stinkers of games this year.
No, not just for this year, but I said even last year when the mystery was surrounding him and he got the big contract. And by the way, the Rams have done this twice now. Go ahead and get that big contract out of the way without doing enough homework, and then all of a sudden you have to cover for him all the way through the Super Bowl where he wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
You sure he wasn't? Because you know what? Then in the offseason, everything was kept mum, and then he comes back, and now they're restricting his touches. But yet you're paying oodles and oodles of money for a running back that's giving you zero production.
I mean, he only gave him 9 touches. 9 carries the whole game. So I don't know if it's...
Well, you're playing from behind, too. So you're slinging it as fast as you can, right?
Yeah, no, he had 6 rushing attempts, three targets in the passing game. But, yeah, a total...
Of 9 touches.
Of 6, yeah, 9 touches.
Right.
But six rushing attempts, 22 yards.
It's awful.
And yeah. And one of them was a 15-yarder.
And I don't see it getting any better.
So, I mean, that was the bulk of his yardage right there.
And I don't know that, you know, they're not addressing anything with surgery, medical issues, anything like that. But if you look at it, there's two parallels. You better hope Jared Goff comes back and has a hell of a year next year and bounces back from this too. Because as you were talking about in terms of quarterbacks that get all the hype and then slump, I mean, here's a guy that got the big deal this year. Now, from the start of the year on, he didn't look like the same Jared Goff. But the fact that they went out and gave him a massive deal and you're sitting on these two massive deals, I feel really bad that McVay's going to be the guy that everybody's pointing at. Like, he's the luster and shine is worn off of McVay, and they're saying, you know, could he be on the hot seat now, a year removed from getting his team to the Super Bowl? But, boy, when you're talking about trying to escape from underneath those two bad contracts, if those guys keep playing that awful.
I was going
to
say, I don't know about hot seat, but, you know, going into next year, there's going to be a lot of eyes focused on him and what are you going to do and how are you going to turn this around, because you can't go from what they did last year to what they're doing this year,
right?
And expect that everything's going to be okay. And let's be real, they're out of the playoff hunt, right? I mean, at 6-5
after last night, I believe they are.
They're done, because in front of them, they would have to leapfrog at least Minnesota and Seattle at the very least. That's just not happening, is it?
I think they're done.
I mean, they're 6-5. Minnesota, they're 6-5 sitting at 7th in the playoff chase. Ahead of them is Minnesota at 6, sitting at 8-3. That's you got to catch them.
But more so than anything else, the eye test is, I don't care about Goff, and I don't. And by the way, the receivers who were also all-world a year ago. I don't care anything offensively. That defense was lights out. That defense led by Aaron Donald a year ago was like suffocating. And you know, and they gave up on, like I said, Peters, but they also gave up on Akeem Tlaib. They gave up on Ndamukong Suh. They basically took it out on the defense in terms of the finances that they needed so they could get the money for the second big deal for Goff. But at least that defense could stop people. And Aaron Donald was dominant. Mm-hmm. That defense didn't look like anywhere like a, not even a shill of what they were a year ago.
McVay's obviously going to have to make some adjustments. And I think in his case, because he's so young and he's coming off that Super Bowl appearance last year, I'm not sure if he's going to even get a hot, be on the hot seat, even if the next year is bad. I mean, you look at Ron Rivera, you know, he had that Super Bowl appearance in 2016. They haven't been the same ever since. And now they're finally starting to talk about, well, what are they going to do with Ron Rivera? Believe it or not, before they made that Super Bowl appearance, Ron Rivera was kind of on the hot seat. So I think he can outlast it. He's just going to have to make some serious adjustments. And I think it's a big plus that he's a younger guy that could relate to this new era of players. That is what I think has that. That's an advantage for him. Now, whether or not he gets fired next year, that's remaining.
Well, if Goff ends up being a bust that they spent all this money on, I think a lot of it's going to depend on whose idea was it.
Right. If it's the general manager and you're responsible for both of these big deals, then that's obviously a target.
Yeah, but if it was Sean McVay that was like, this is my guy. We're rolling with him. I want him to lock him up. I can win with this guy. Then
you kind of have to sign Jared Goff, though.
Here's the deal, fellas. Don't sleep on it, too. I keep bringing this up, but don't sleep on the fact that Sean McVay, for being this innovative offensive mind, I think got caught in his own brilliant idea at the time of using the headset and the microphone and the helmet being open through the first 15 seconds of every play call to basically play like a video game. He basically, from the sidelines, was reading defenses for Goff and audibilizing for Goff up until the 15-second mark. And teams got, like you said, when defensive coordinators, just like stopping Lamar Jackson, when they start scheming, when they really start coming up with a plan, they realized, hey, let's not start showing our different looks and our blitz packages till after the 15-second mark. Let's see if this guy can do it on his own. And it changed the dynamic of the Rams offense. I think he got caught. He's a detriment of his own brilliance. At the time, it was working great during the regular season. But I think teams caught on. They started changing the way they do things.
I didn't even hear about that until the Patriots game.
No. Before that, there were teams talking about the fact that essentially he was making reads on the defense for Goff and telling him what to audible on.
Well, if that's the case, then why did you pay him so much money?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If he can't read a defense, why would you dump so much money into him?
I'm saying, but what I'm saying is whether that's the case, whether that's the case or not, it stunted the growth of Jared Goff. Now, he still may be able to learn how to read defenses. Maybe he can read defenses or it's getting better. But at the same time, you stunt his growth. And when teams catch on.
See, I don't know. I would think that if you are waiting to the last second, what you're waiting on is for the defense to make a move so you can make a counter move. I don't know that it necessarily has to do with he can't read this defense, so let me just talk in his ear until I run out of the ability.
I'm not saying whether he can or he can't. I think McVay felt like he could do it better.
No, I think it becomes a strategy thing where, all right, when you line up and you got the offense and defense sitting there looking at each other and the defense gets in their position, you put a guy in motion, you're trying to see if it's man versus zone, you're seeing what the safety's going to do, is he creeping up? You're literally waiting to the last second to audible to make that decision. And yeah, you rely on your quarterback to make those decisions. But I think you're just trying to be too cute.
Think about it, Barry. They played quick. They played fast. They played with tempo. It rarely got down inside of 15 seconds. When the Rams were at their best in the regular season, they were playing at a very fast tempo. They were trying to make the defenses not be able to react. They were going as quick as possible. And that was all part of the whole idea of he can still be in the ear of Goff and he can keep it moving fast. He can do the reads for him or he can help him out. And again, it advanced the entire team by taking a young quarterback and being able to help him through that. But it's also now seems to be the biggest detriment that they have because he was doing it and not the quarterback himself processing everything, and because they're not playing as fast, that it comes back to bite them.
Okay. I mean, I just feel like you might, you know, if I'm an offensive coordinator calling a play and I send in a couple of different plays and maybe I want to see how the defense lines up, and then I'll send in an audible before, you know, the time expires. But I don't know. It is weird that if that was the case and he was having to do that for him and then they dump all the money into a guy that can't read a defense, everybody should be fired at that point.
Well, and I think, too, the other thing is this is like another Brock Osweiler type deal.
You didn't just compare Jared Goff to Brock Osweiler.
I'm saying it's
the fact that you had to sign him, but everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying about the fact that, again, regardless of the sample size or anything like that, you went and made a long-term commitment and now are stuck looking at this thing going, man, did we make the right move?
Yeah, well, that's
scary.
Yeah.
So, you know what's not scary? Switching to Infuse Energy. I know P. Randizzle and a buddy of mine, Gene, a lot of the listeners that I've talked to have always, lately they've been saying to me, hey, what's that energy company you speak for? And I always say, hey, Infuse Energy, call them, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Ask for Josh Pesikoff. Tell him I sent you. Because he's the CEO, and he and his staff, they're dedicated to Houstonians, and they want to give you the best rate they possibly can and the best deal they can put together. In order to do that, they ask you questions. They talk to you in a conversational way about trying to find out as much information as possible. Are you using it for your business? Are you using it for your family? Then they try to find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. And at the end of the day, they'll come back to you and say, hey, look, here's the best plan we have with the best rate that we can give you. In most cases, it knocks everything else out of the park from anything you've heard from anybody else. In the rare occasions there's a company out there that can beat their rates and prices, they're going to tell you that too, because they're 100% honest. They want to build a relationship with you like a trusted friend and not be someone that pulls the wool over your eyes just to get you to sign on the dotted line. Check them out at infuseenergy.com, but better yet, like I told you, call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, right off the top, $25 bill credit on your first bill, and the process goes from there. It will be easy for you. They are great at customer service, so much so, 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. Best you can get. That's what you want. 100% green energy at your fingertips, so they're also going to make sure that you can get a green plan. But more so than anything else, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, proudly hydrating with C-Force Water.
That's high-quality H2O.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first half of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. First half almost done, but a second 90 minutes still on the docket, so that's good.
Hey, I want to remind folks, join me out at Twin Peaks, the Shenandoah location, this Saturday, noon to 2. Be hanging out, watching some foosball. We got the Michigan-Ohio State game. We got Alabama-Auburn game. Why are you going cross-eyed, Joseph? They got 29-degree beer. That's all I care about. We're going to get that farty started. Come out. It's
going
to be fun.
Going cross-eyed on you.
Yeah, he was. I don't know why he was doing that. He was making it weird. But I'm going to be out there noon to 2. So, you know, all my peeps on the north side, if you're up there, come hang out with me. I wonder, is there a special like costume thing going on?
Black Friday, there is for sure.
Right.
And they don't elaborate like they've done in the past. Like for Halloween, it was leather and lace.
Mm-hmm.
They just said that the girls are going to be having a costume party.
On Friday.
Yeah, on okay. Friday. And I don't know if that rolls into the weekend
Boy,
as well.
I hope so. But come out, yeah, noon to 2 this Saturday. It's going to be fun.
It's a great location.
Yep. Indeed. It is my favorite location.
Eat, drink, scenic views. Got to be Twin Peaks.
Do it. Do it,
so,
do it, do it.
There you have that. So we've covered a lot of ground so far.
Yeah, can I? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I want to backtrack on something.
Okay.
That I said yesterday. Remember my super hot take about the Titans controlling their own destiny?
It rings a bell.
I don't remember that at all.
You both remember
that. No, I remember.
I said I remember it. It rings a bell.
You know, we talked about the Titans, and I mentioned that they're not getting any love, that they're tied with the Colts, 6-5 in the division.
You did say the Titans.
They play the Texans twice and the Colts once, so they basically hold their destiny in their own hands. The problem is I saw a link for strength of schedule remaining. Titans have the second toughest schedule left in the NFL. The only team with a harder schedule, the San Francisco 49ers. So I was like, that sucks. Sorry, Titans. Sorry, Hugo. Looks like it's not going to happen.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, the Titans have been so weird ever since the Marcus Mariota situation. And really, there was probably a small sample size similar to Brock, in my opinion, where you really felt like Marcus Mariota could lead that team. Ever since then, I felt like it's been not a disaster, but on the way to it.
Literally every team left on their schedule has a winning record.
Yeah, I just don't believe
it. Every single team. And you know how many other teams can say that? None. Even the Niners, who statistically have a tougher strength of schedule, at least play the Falcons, who don't have a winning record. But the Titans are literally the only team left in football with 5 games left that does not have a team with a losing record left. Because the Raiders, 6-5, but...
Look, I understand what you were trying to say, though, because of the fact that it goes to show you, and again, what I brought up about how important the quarterback position is, but Mariota has been so bad that it sets the entire franchise back.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that a guy like Tannehill, who everybody crapped on when they made that move...
Sure.
But because not only did he step in as a veteran that has experience as a starter when Mariota had the wheels fall off again, but he's put up good numbers... And if you can do ball control and hand it to that big bad man in the backfield and let him do some work, Derrick Henry, you could do some things. And you guys were also very, very astute in pointing out how great their defense is in terms they spend a lot of money on it, but they have a lot of good players on defense.
It keeps them in it.
So, and the fact that you have divisional opponents on your schedule means like it's better than waiting for help. You can control your own destiny.
Right.
It's just that you've seen this play out too many times. You've seen this act with the Tennessee Titans before. And the fact that on offense, even though you have a Derrick Henry, you still don't have the kind of weaponry that you would need and you expect. That Tennessee's always had that problem.
Yeah, if you're curious, to the Texans 14th in strength of schedule remaining, they've got 3 teams with winning records, and twice they play the Titans and the Patriots, and then the easier opponents they have is the Broncos and the Bucks, the Tampa Bay Bucks. So,
and again, teams like Tampa Bay and Atlanta, you got to be careful of those teams because they can play spoiler, and we've seen it. You know, look, Atlanta beat the Saints, and Tampa Bay has been playing better. Look, you might catch them on their regular week, and then you just kill them.
Atlanta and the Saints, though, it's one of those rivalry games where you realize that no matter how good or bad those teams are, usually they're still going to play each other pretty tough.
And it's like Ohio State, Michigan. Yeah. Right? It's like, you know, one of those teams could be ranked in the top five and the other could be, you know, having a down year. But it's going to be something. Yep. It's Packers, Bears. It's that, you know, go right down the list. But look, that's the thing. The Saints can't afford to slip up now because they've already lost once to Atlanta. And they know that they got taken to the shed, right? Mm-hmm. And they got them Thanksgiving night. So Atlanta's playing better football. But I, that's why I say when you have a guy at quarterback like Matt Ryan and you have weapons like they have with the receivers that they have, they still have a talented running back. If they get it clicking on all cylinders, and it, like I said, the consistency is obviously not there. But from week to week, you got to be careful with teams like that on your schedule.
With Atlanta?
Atlanta and Tampa, Jameis can throw for 350 yards. He's shown it on multiple occasions. He can throw you four picks, or he can throw you a couple touchdowns. If you get the Jameis on the weekend, he's throwing more touchdowns than picks. You got to be careful.
Yeah, I don't know that the Bucs would scare me, but yeah, I'm not saying I mean, you're
scare
right.
You,
you're
but
right.
You still have to be careful.
Hey, now, your Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, here you go.
Third easiest schedule.
Great. Why do you want to keep jinxing me? I mean, they've okay, got you, the you Vikings. Said they got to win the
list,
table.
They list your difficult opponents and your easy opponents. The Green Bay Packers have the Vikings as their difficult opponent, and then Giants, Redskins, Lions, Bears.
I mean, look, I'm certainly using all that as a guide, but at the same time, a lot of it has to do with momentum and how well you're playing right now going into the postseason. So there's going to be some games where you see teams that are going to lose to other teams that they're not supposed to. And then you're going to see some teams that are going to beat some teams that they're not supposed to be beating. So, I mean, the strength of schedule is probably a good guide for sure, no doubt. But I don't know if it necessarily dictates what's going to happen to that particular team or if it necessarily ruins the chances of them making the postseason or not. Okay. It just kind of depends.
You mentioned the Falcons. I saw a list of the seven NFL coaches who should be fired at the end of this season. And he, Dan Quinn, was number one on that list. Agree?
I don't think that's shocking.
No, yeah. I don't believe he should be number one.
He was number one on the list.
I was going to say something that might or might not be legal on radio, so I'll just say the redhead in Dallas is the guy that should be number one.
You almost used the G word?
I'm just not going to say
ginger?
No, I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, what were you going to say?
Never mind. See, here you go again.
Redheaded stepchild?
Let's not do that because we got to talk about tight end sports bar and grill.
Oh.
Okay.
Not the me of we does, we'll go, the you of we does.
We'll go over the list next segment.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
All right. Like I've been telling you guys pretty much for the past 2 or 3 months, tight end sports bar and grill on 2502 Gold Freeway in League City, one of the best sports bars in Texas. Beautiful girls, beautiful great drink specials and a made-from-scratch kitchen. I've been telling you about all the promotions that they have throughout the week, starting with Tito Tuesdays. And if you go today, anything Tito's is $5. Anything Tito's, you call it, is only $5. Tomorrow, they'll have their chicken Alfredo special that they do only on Wednesdays. Enjoy their chicken Alfredo. And then, obviously, Friday is Lingerie Fridays, probably their best night of the week. All girls in lingerie. So go out and watch some sports. What are you doing this Thanksgiving week? Maybe try out Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. The Rockets play tomorrow. You can check out the game there. Like I said, booze, full bar, made from scratch kitchen. And I'm not kidding when I say made from scratch kitchen, because nothing is frozen. Nothing like your ordinary bar food or food that you would get from a bar. They're actually experimenting with breakfast as well. So look out for that. But 2502 Gulf Freeway, 2502 Gulf Freeway, Tight End Sports Bar and Grill. And remember, everybody scores at tight ends.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half of the show starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday, Thanksgiving week.
You are out tomorrow.
I'm out the rest of the week. You guys are taking it home tomorrow.
So we're on our own for way back Wednesday.
Enjoy.
It's an easy topic this time, right? Songs about being thankful.
It's pretty good, Nick.
Done.
I know you didn't put a lot of thought into it, but it's pretty good.
Done. Right?
Pretty,
negative?
Pretty good.
How many songs do you think there are about being thankful?
It doesn't matter. It's Thanksgiving. We'll make it work.
What about songs about stealing people's homeland?
That's not nice.
I mean, I did see an article this morning that was talking about the original Thanksgiving and how the narrative has always kind of been where, oh, it was a bunch of pilgrims that showed up and then there was these few Indians and then they were like, hey, let's have dinner. When in fact, the pilgrims were outnumbered like 3-1 because half of them had already died. And they didn't.
I heard something about that too.
The Indians brought most of the food. Pilgrim women weren't allowed to attend. It was like what we know as Thanksgiving is not even close to what actually happened. That most of the pilgrims would have died.
So
had
what's
it not
the alternative? Songs about making a killing for the feral hogs?
I mean, songs about hogs?
Hunting or
there's that
hog
one song,
hunting.
I Want a Big Fat Woman. Isn't
there you go,
song?
Hog hunting.
Do that one. Yeah, I don't know. Is there a lot of songs about being thankful?
Doesn't
really?
Matter.
I'm just happy.
I don't think so, but it doesn't matter.
Sound like somebody already has their list done.
I don't.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
I don't.
I don't have to worry about it.
Let's do another list. I sent the list in last week. You have to also.
No, you did not.
Yeah, you did not.
Listen.
No, you did not.
If you just shut your
Thank
damn
you, Nick.
Mouth,
Appreciate
Nick.
Appreciate that.
He would have had no idea. All you had to do was shut up.
He would have remembered after the show.
It wouldn't have mattered. He would have remembered after he sent his list.
Give me some credit. I'd have remembered before the end of the show.
He's so old, his memory is shot.
Yeah,
there's
you wouldn't
no
remember.
Way.
Let's be honest.
See?
Come on.
Damn,
Warner.
Nick. Ooh, he called you Joe Warner. Mm. Pow, pow, pow. Show us that belly button. No, please don't.
He called me Springer earlier, and he knows why he called me Springer.
I do. Yep.
Hater.
Why?
We're not getting into it.
Drinking that haterade.
What?
No. It was playful. It was fine.
It was playful.
Yep. Playful?
It was playful.
Is that what it is? Yep. Sometimes when you play, you're mean. You know that, right?
Me. Yeah. Of all people, yeah. That coming from,
isn't
that's
he,
ironic.
Isn't he mean when he plays?
I don't
plays?
Think anybody's that nice on this program, let's be real. At least not to each other.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, here's the 7 coaches that should be fired at the end of the season, according to Steven Ruiz from For the Win. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Ready? Number 1, Dan Quinn. Of the Falcons. And I would totally agree with that.
Me as too. Number one?
Yes.
Yeah, he sucked.
Bro, when you
but
talk
so does
about...
so Jason Garrett, and he's been hanging on by a thread for how long?
You talk about all the weapons that the Falcons had and how they were supposedly getting better on defense and all this and that, and you look at how bad that team is? That team with Julio Jones and the running back court that they've had and Matt Ryan has been consistently good... Not never.
You're
great.
Preaching to the choir on that. I'm surprised every year when they suck. The soup. That, believe me, if there's a team that took one game, one loss, and it completely changed the future of their franchise, it was 30 whatever it was. The complete collapse in the Super Bowl.
Listen, I would. It's time for the Falcons to move on.
Was it 28-3?
Yeah, it's time. Number 2, Doug Marrone of the Jags.
I can
not
see
a
that.
Shocker.
I
at
think
all.
He's lost total control of that team.
Number 3, Matt Patricia of the Lions.
No,
nope.
What?
Disagree. It's
too soon for you guys?
Yeah.
The fact that if Stafford was healthy, they were in pretty much every game this year, and they were starting to look pretty good when Stafford got hurt, I would disagree with that.
I will say, though, if the rumors of him continuing to be late and his like work ethic is still not there, then maybe after
he's
going to
blame
year.
It on the foot surgery and the scooter that he's got.
Number 4, Ron Rivera of the Panthers.
Absolutely can see that.
Okay.
Especially when the owner just came out and said he's not going to accept mediocrity.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're getting. Number 5, Pat Shurmur of the Giants.
So Jason Garrett doesn't make the top 5? It's a bad list.
Number 6, Jason Garrett.
Okay.
And number 7, Adam Gase.
Now, he's also turning it around a little bit. He could have been higher on that list. Now, all of a sudden, you blast the Raiders by a massive margin, and the people said, well, they're starting to get his offense now, and his players are coming to his defense. I would have said he'd have been high on that list early on. It's kind of surprising to me that it's changed so much.
I didn't think when he was on Hard Knocks he did himself any favors. I didn't think he'd get another gig after that, to be honest with you.
I just think his press conference, I would have been...
With the bug eyes?
I'd have been scared. I mean, from the minute he stepped on the podium without saying a word, I'd have been like, oh, we made the wrong decision.
Yeah, I know.
We did this wrong.
Well, it's funny because you look at some of the teams that are underachieving, and I mean, what surprised me a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
Well, can I throw another name out there that should be on that list?
Yeah.
Freddie Kitchens. Oh, please try to defend Larry the Cable Guy in an orange sweatshirt.
But he hasn't been with the team long enough.
It doesn't matter.
Well, if you're going to say that, then you might as well put Zach Taylor ahead of him because they haven't won this year at all.
No.
What?
No,
they're 0-11. But if ever there's a reason to fire a coach, it's because they never won a game.
The Bengals and the Dolphins situation are completely different.
At least the Dolphins won a game.
The Bengals and the Dolphins situation, you knew going in. Both guys knew, and I'm sure they had conversations going in, that this was going to be a process of starting over. So I don't think that they were going to pay the price like Gaze, who came in guns blazing from the get-go and basically was like, we're going to turn it around, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then it just went completely haywire. I think it's totally separate situations. I think those two guys.
You think Freddie Kitchens is
with all the talent they have on that team and the fact that they were the sleeper pick for the Super Bowl. I just think that's a way different situation. But Freddie Kitchens, and everybody points the finger at just the lack of discipline, the lack of coaching.
The Bengals haven't won a game all year, and you're going to tell me that that's okay.
I'm not saying it's okay, Barry. I think it's part of a plan. It's just like, was it Brian Flores with the Dolphins? He took that job knowing damn well it was going to be a 4 or 5 year proposition. He probably got his contract to reflect that with his agent because they knew it was going to be that situation. But guess what? The whole plan this year was not to win football games. Matter of fact, they're probably a little salty behind the scenes that they're not going to have the number one overall pick, and they've won a couple.
Well, I don't know. But I'm thinking, if you're going to start adding names that weren't on the list, like Freddie Kitchens, you got to look at a team that went 0-11 and taking all those L's. But, hey, if you don't want to take L's when you wager on teams, you should definitely do that at MyBookie. No L's taken there. The best in the business, hands down. Don't bet with a no-name sports book. If you're going to bet with somebody you can trust. Bet with the best. That's MyBookie. They've got odds on every game. They've got, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm really into the parlays and the teasers and all that, they've got it. They've got everything. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book out there, period. Guys, the main thing is nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. You let them know. They're going to verify it, you and send you your money. A lot of places like to give you the runaround. Not at MyBookie. When you bet and you win, you get paid, and that's what's super important. And look, it's not too late to get NFL action. And even if you decide you're going to bet on some teams this year and bet on some games, did you know if you miss kickoff, you can still get in-game live action with MyBookie? They've got it all. They are absolutely the best. And if you sign up right now, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. All you got to do is use promo code radio. You just type in radio in that promo code box, and they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money for you to wager with. Don't wait. Don't delay. Go right now. If you're thinking about getting action on games, go sign up with the best, and that's MyBookie. Don't forget that promo code radio. You're going to get that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. My last day with y'all, so happy Thanksgiving. And hopefully you guys get a huge dose of family and food and all the good stuff and realize that I appreciate all of you. I appreciate you guys, as I mentioned, even this weekend.
I'm thankful for you and Nicholas.
And absolutely. And the fact that we have come, and I think we kid about it a lot, but I didn't mean to, at some point, to say it today about the fact that the listeners get just a small glimpse into what this entire undertaking has been with this show. And the fact that you've seen across this market in so many different examples of, one, you get guys that are paired with other guys they know already. And that's normally the way you do things. But two, that when things go awry or if there's any kind of like tension or anything like that, that it normally is doomsday. The fact that we were all kind of from our own separate worlds thrown into this mix and said, make it work. And we overcame so many challenges and pitfalls to go over where we came from to where we are now. That's the thing I'm most thankful for. Because believe me, I thought about it, and there were opportunities along the way to go and take a regular, real job again. But I never wanted to do that because this is so much fun, and I love doing this. But it's so much more fun when, for those on the inside that could know all we've been through to get to this point, and to know what how fun the future should be. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, to have to overcome you was really
that was a challenge.
Yeah, no, it's been cool. This has been a fun ride. I'm glad we get to do this show every day.
And he was serious when none of us knew each other.
Yeah,
even though Barry and I were working in the same, or you know,
never met you in my life. Before yeah, we started the show.
I remember walking right past Barry.
Yep,
and never saying hi.
Yeah.
Not knowing him.
And the irony, too, was the fact that, and again, it was challenging because we were doing the show two separate ways for a while. And I was thinking back on it the other day.
Oh, back when Trap would do Monday and Friday.
Yeah. And that was so weird.
That was awkward.
Because Nick and I, we knew you had a style. We knew Trap had a style. We had to try and, you know, schedule accordingly with everything that went with that. But then when you think about it, you and I, we didn't realize it at the time, but they had you and I do our, we had never met before. I remember we were just like, kind of awkwardly chatting through Twitter messages just to, you know, say, hey, what's up? And then we go to A&M. We do a show from A&M that really went well. And it was in front of Todd and it was in front of everybody. And the next thing you know, it was like the seed was planted. The idea was right there that, hey, these two guys could do this on a regular basis. And now look where we are.
So yeah.
That's something that I never would have seen happening. And it's been something I'm very thankful for. So obviously family and all that other stuff is at the top of the list, but this has been a lot of fun.
Speak for yourself. My family, I'm not thankful for them. They're weird. I'm not thankful. I mean, I'm kind of. Okay, I'm thankful for my family. That's fine.
I love my wife and kids and my dogs.
That's what you're thankful for?
Yeah. And the health, number one.
Yeah?
I think that's the biggest thing, too. The takeaway from that is that what I said about the show, obviously my family and the birth of a new baby and all that other stuff, and just health overall, because of the fact that when you get scared into the possibility of losing part of your limb, you realize how much you take for granted. So, you know, I hope you all do. Like I said, the message that I got this weekend, which normally you just kind of go in, you listen, and you move on with your day, the message is very clear for everybody out there. Be thanks for everything that you've got and gotten through and had this year, good and bad. But make sure you give back too, but don't lose sight of everything.
Are you going to be going to church every Sunday?
I think it's a possibility.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
And I think it starts with, for Taylor's sake, but it's for our sake too. I mean, look, it can give you a pretty clear perspective going forward on things. When you think you got it bad, there's people out there that got a lot worse.
Okay.
I got a wake-up call too in the fact that, you know, I went to high school with a guy that had been battling cancer, and I think I might have mentioned this to Nick the other day, but you know, he's always in the back of my mind as someone that I wish everything goes well for. His father, he's got kids, and normally there's updates on Facebook, and I haven't been on Facebook very much. And I got on Facebook, and it was his birthday, and his wife was posting messages in fond remembrance.
Oh damn!
And it just kind of rattles your cage and goes, you know what? There's a lot of problems that people have in this world, but as long as you got your health, you can pretty much get through everything else.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that so sucks. That's why I hope people really take advantage of with the holiday. It's great time off and the food and the family and all that, but just be thankful for what you got and try to give back to those that might be maybe are struggling a little.
I feel like a lot of people do.
What's that?
They're thankful. I mean, a lot of people appreciate this holiday more than Christmas, I feel like, too. So a lot of people say they enjoy.
Except indigenous people.
Okay.
See, no? Here's the thing, too. The other thing that I think is very important about Thanksgiving is that it's not religion-driven. Because obviously Christmas and all of that. This is just people appreciating and gathering and, you know, having food and fun and good times and just getting together. And I think that's important.
Unless you hate your family. And then it's not that great.
Well, that's why mine's in Wisconsin.
I mean, like,
that helps.
I'm not saying I hate my family. I love my family. But I'm just saying there are those.
Don't bring my sister back into this.
Just those family members, when you show up and you're like, oh, my God, not again. Right? Everybody has those family members.
Oh, it's usually and you guys and were uncles. Out. How about this? So Raheel and I are doing the show Thursday night. Do you know that in Raheel's family, it's 45 people and it rotates to a different house every year, and everybody stays on premise at whosever house it is.
Wait a second. It rotates every year. That means you got to do it once every 45 years?
No, there's 45 people.
There's 45 people. Families. It rotates between, I believe, Raheel's parents. I don't know if his brother's house, his uncle's.
Oh, I thought you meant all 45 people take a
but
turn.
But all 45 people stay all over
it?
The house. He said every couch, every chair.
Oh, hell no.
All 45 people in the house. They don't go to a hotel. They don't find other. They are staying there for the weekend.
No. Yeah, my family never liked each other that much either.
I was going to say, my family would kill each other.
There's no way.
I'm not having 45. I don't want four or five people.
You know how big of a germaphobe he is? There's no way you're having 45 people in your damn house. Are you kidding me? You'd rather have one of those bobcats in your house than 45 people.
45.
But he's got a bar in the bathroom, Nick. It makes it easier when there's a wait.
Oh, it should definitely be. You're the only one with a coffee bar in the bathroom. So everybody should
waiting
be at
for
your
the
house.
Morning bathroom, you get the coffee. Waiting for the evening bathroom, you get the drink. It's fine.
No.
Since we're on this thankful segment, shout out to April. She's the one who made the T-shirts. Yep. She gave me one, I guess, to make fun of me. She gave me like a 4X large or something. And I said, no.
She just thought you were fat.
And she gave me the right size. So she gave me the medium. I absolutely love the T-shirt. 3XL? Thank you, April. No, she did not. It's a medium.
You know I coordinated right? Getting you the right size?
You did. Okay. You did.
You got to make sure you give him his credit.
And shout out to Joel for facilitating this T-shirt that you didn't pay for. Okay. Thank you very much.
How did you throw that you didn't pay?
Remember the...
Oh, God. This is so... We just got through. Like,
what did he want me to do there? I'm
thankful for all of us, you bunch of a-hole jerks. God. You know what's weird for me this year is that this is the first time that I'm actually doing corporate events for Christmas as a comedian.
How does that work?
Which is a thing. Well, they just hire you. These companies, like big and small, they want a comedian to come in and perform for their employees.
Do they know you're not professional?
Bitch.
You said corporate. What are you going to say?
I'm absolutely a professional.
They're
going
to have to keep it clean.
Nothing says professional like yelling bitch.
I get paid to do comedy. That means I'm a professional.
He gets angry for me accusing him of being unprofessional. His response?
Bitch. That's my point.
Yeah. Because I'm a professional comedian. Professional just means you get paid. That's the only difference between an amateur comic and a pro comic. Pro comics get paid. I get paid.
Well, they think that
doesn't
that
mean
now.
I'm good. It doesn't mean that I'm well behaved. It doesn't mean that I would fit a corporate environment necessarily. But no, I do. This year I did a show at a retirement community.
They didn't welcome your penis jokes. I'm pretty sure.
I did 53 minutes of clean material. Thank you very much, sir. So yeah, it is new. I'm like, oh, this is weird. Because you're like, who's borrowing, who's stapler, what? Yeah, that guy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, but you know what? The money's good, so I'll whore myself out, whatever. I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, the takeaway that we never can forget, the suspects. Without them, without you guys, there is no us. I'm thankful for the suspects.
I'm thankful for some of the suspects.
Okay.
Thankful. It's like when I start my comedy show now, I say, let's give it up for some of the troops. And people are like, what? I'm like, yeah, my ex-wife cheated on me with a Marine. We're not giving it up for that guy. But we'll give it up for the rest of them.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll give it up for some of the suspects.
No. I give it up to all of them because you know what? No matter who has me in their crosshairs every day, they're still listening every day.
I feel like that was all calculated.
No, not at all. All right. Two in the books. 1 hour number? Still to go. I don't know what you're talking about, but I could find a certain couple if you want me to. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.